Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show here at KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. This is your host, Julie Calamine, normally joined by Phil Huff, who is away this week, returning next week. This morning, we've got an interesting couple of topics. The first is going to be Janae Dale. She's with the Bonner County Gardeners Association. She's the co-chair of the Home Hort Committee. We'll be speaking with Janae in a moment, and later on, we're going to be talking with Amy Flint from Angels Over Sandpoint. So a great morning for us here on the Tuesday Morning Show. Let's begin with some weather. Have we seen a change in the weather from hot and dry, hot, dry all summer? We're now seeing cool and rainy, and what a nice relief it is. Janae, I'm going to introduce you now because you and I probably do want to talk about the weather a bit. Good morning.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Oh, just great. And loving this change.
Yes, it's so good to have you here. And it makes a big difference for the gardens, doesn't it?
It really does. All the perennials, shrubs, and trees have really need a deep watering before we go into the winter.
Yes.
And this rain is taking care of that, I hope.
I think they've suffered quite a bit. I did more watering than normal this summer. I'm going to continue with the weather forecast. It's not much different from today's, but we'll finish that up and then move on to our interview with Janae. Today, we can expect showers, which is great, 80%, with a high of only 50 degrees. What a cool off. A low tonight of 39, not quite a frost warning, but I have already seen frost in my garden in Sagal. Tomorrow, we can expect a high of 53 with a 50% chance of showers and then a low of 37. So it's getting closer and closer to freezing. Thursday, more of the same, high of 55 with a low of 35. And on it goes. I think we'll be clearing up a bit over the weekend and then on into Monday. For those of you who didn't hear us at the beginning, we are 88.5 KRFY, and we are Panhandles Community Radio for North Idaho. If you're not able to listen to the entire radio program this morning, know that you can always go to www.krfy.org and listen to the podcast. I'll be posting that later today. And with that, I'm going to bring back Janae Dale. Good morning, Janae.
Good morning.
So good to have you here. Janae has been with Bonner County Gardeners Association for some time, but Janae, why don't you tell us just a bit about that, how you came to the Gardeners Association, how long you've been with them?
Well, I took the Master Gardener class in 2003, a couple of years after we moved here. Being retired, I finally had the time to take the class and get more involved with the garden and learning more about gardening. And then I became involved with the association. It's just great fun. I'm a retired teacher, so the educational element of the Bonner County Gardeners Association has been very important to me. And I love Sandpoint, so I like the community aspect of the organization. And then our third big section is camaraderie, and there certainly is great camaraderie, good friends, meeting people, meeting other gardeners, and spending time with other gardeners.
Full disclosure here, I am also a member of the Bonner County Gardeners, and I do agree, it really is a wonderful social group. And if you've got a question about gardening, this is the group to join because they seem to know everything.
Well, at least we try. We consider ourselves to be science-based, so we try to back up any answers to questions with scientific background, scientific knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Janae, tell us just a little bit more about the association because it does a number of things. It's an educator, it's a social group, and it's also a helper of the schools, which we're going to move into in a moment.
Yes, we also have our home hort classes to be for education. We try to do as much educational activity as we can at the fair booth, and we also have once a month, we have a booth at the farmer's market where we'll answer gardening questions. So the educational part is a big part of our program. We also do some community affairs. We just recently have completed the landscaping in front of the fairground building. So if you haven't seen it, you need to go by and see it. Once we can get there, it's a little hard to get to the fairgrounds these days, but
That's true. It was a little hard to get to the studio this morning.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yes, lots of changes in town. Well, Janae, let's talk just a little bit about the school gardens and what's happening with them and how the Bonner County Gardeners are involved in that program.
Well, I have to give credit to Michelle Murphy. She's the one who has worked so hard to get a school garden in each one of the elementary schools and at the charter school. And these have been very well received by the schools, the staff, and the students, of course. We try to plan the gardens so that the students can plant things in the spring that they can come back later and harvest in the fall. So recently, I know at Kootenai, they harvested all the cherry tomatoes and served them in the cafeteria.
That sounds wonderful. I bet they enjoyed them.
And that kind of activity is going on at each one of the schools. Whatever there is to harvest, we try and use them in the school gardens. I mean, in the school cafeteria, excuse me. So when the school gardens are used by the school cafeteria as much as possible.
And I understand that children are involved in selecting what they're going to grow, so they must be thinking about what will finish up when they're coming back to school.
Yes, we try to meet with the classes, with the students and the teachers early in the spring to start planning, but we also have discussions on what our season can handle here, and we also have to consider that there's no one there in the summertime to be doing the harvesting. So the garden is planned for the students to be able to harvest when they come back to school in the fall.
Makes a lot of sense. And I understand it was just this spring that the final elementary school received its garden. I think that was Southside.
Yes, Southside now has a school garden as well. So they'll be busy getting their gardens already this fall and planting in the spring.
That's a pretty neat thing for kids in this community.
It really is. They all enjoy it so much.
That's right. Janae, I know that your main job with Bonner County Gardeners isn't to help with the school gardens, so I'm not going to grill you with questions here for that, but I did want an update just because kids are back in school and I think probably starting to enjoy the harvest from their gardens, which is good to hear about the tomatoes. But you have another even bigger job with the gardeners.
Oh, yes. I'm a co-chair for the Home Horticulture Committee, and we try to set up classes every spring and every fall that the community will enjoy. These classes are for the members, of course, but they're also open to the community. And we have just started our fall series last Wednesday. Our classes are on Wednesdays. And last Wednesday day, we had a compost class. And it was very well received. Excellent class, really well done. And it was an outdoor class at Ann Warwick's garden. So she presented it with hands-on activities. This Wednesday, tomorrow night, we'll start they'll be back to the evening classes from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. at the Pondere Event Center that's right behind Sandpoint Furniture.
Yes.
And we're upstairs in our office space in the Pondere Event Center. The class tomorrow night is cover crops and care of garden in the fall. Jennifer Jensen, the local University of Idaho extension educator, is going to be teaching that class, so it should be very well received. And cover crops is the very best way to treat your garden in the fall, get that soil built up for the spring growing. So I think people will be very interested in that class.
Yes, and they're not very expensive.
No. The classes, if you're a member of the association, it's $5. If you're not, it's $10. You can go online and pay for the classes with PayPal, or you can just come that night and pay your $10 at the door.
Janae, do folks need to pre-register, or might they just come?
It's not necessary to pre-register.
Okay.
We usually have most people as walk-ins. They know about the class and they plan ahead and they show up that night and check in and pay their $10 and then enjoy the class. The $10 pays for the rent in our room plus some handouts, covers our expenses for the class.
Sure. We've got to back up a minute because you mentioned that last week's topic was composting, but there was another part that I think you're being modest about.
Oh, yes, the composting class. included a short presentation on vermicomposting. I have a worm bin, and since, as I mentioned before, I'm a retired educator, I like to stand up in front of the group and do some educating when I can. So I brought all my worms and discussed vermicomposting.
Interesting. And that's something that I'm interested in. I missed it, so I'll have to wait for next year, I guess.
Okay. Or we can do it sometime on our own.
Very good. Something I think is wonderful about this home horticulture series is that a person from our community can get an idea of what Bonner County gardeners are about without going through the somewhat longer process and making a commitment to join the organization.
Right. The classes are designed so that they're just, you just can take one or more, whatever you wish. However, if you wish to become a member of the association, since we are science-based, it's required that you complete the Master Gardener program or the equivalent thereof. You can take the Master Gardener. We have the University of Idaho puts on the Master Gardener classes, and we also, our organization also, has a class February and March every year, twice a week, and the University of Idaho Master Gardener program is covered.
So it's a great way to really get the basics about gardening in the Panhandle, which is not like most other areas of the country, is it?
No, it's very different. And as Diane Green has said, it's the hottest, coldest, driest, wettest place that you can grow. And we certainly have had that this year.
I think that's true. I've moved from Minnesota. I think everyone knows that. But I thought we had extremes in Minnesota, and I found that there are some extremes that are even more extreme here in the Idaho Panhandle. So I was surprised.
Well, one of our classes is going to be from Sean Mitzel. It's October 11th. He's going to be talking about microclimates, which will help gardeners know even better what they can discover their own personal microclimate as compared to the general climate, which can certainly help them in growing their garden.
And I think Sean would know because he lives up on a high hillside, doesn't he?
Yes, yes. He has a business now for advising people on gardening and particularly following permaculture practices.
An interesting topic for this area and a worthwhile one.
Very definitely.
Is Sean's class the next one after the one you've just told us about, or did we skip one?
No, we have a couple more in there. September 27th, one of our members, Marion Newsom Banks, is going to be teaching a class on weeds, and she will help you with weed identification as well as some strategic methods to get rid of those pests. October 4th, is a class on straw bale gardening, which is really a hot topic recently. And we have some great instructors for that class. It's Janelle Grindy and Brenda Hill. They're also going to talk about how they built their own greenhouse, and so people can learn about building a greenhouse on their property.
I can see a few advantages to straw bale gardening. One is for the back, a little less bending, I would guess.
Definitely. Another major advantage of straw bale gardening is you can garden anywhere. You can put that straw bale on a piece of pavement.
On a rock. Which happens
on
here.
On clay soil.
That's right.
And be able to garden. So you can garden where the soil, where there isn't soil or where the soil isn't very good.
I'll have to put that one on my calendar.
Okay. That, again, is the October the 4th. Our last class of the series is October 18th. It's pesticides in the garden, and Bob Wilson will be teaching that. He's a former extension educator from the University of Idaho. He also owns Cedar Mountain Perennials, so he's extremely knowledgeable in all things gardening, and particularly on the pesticides. So we're really excited to be able to have him teach this class.
And just for those of us who are listening, some are more excited about chemical pesticides than others, of course. Will this be mainly a chemically based pesticide class, or is he looking at other alternatives?
He will be presenting other alternatives as well. But he wants people to have a better understanding of all pesticides and how they can be used.
Probably a good class because it's easy to use too much. Sometimes we're not using enough. So if you're going to go the pesticide route, good to know what you're doing.
Yes. And yeah. He will be able to help you understand that whole process.
Really good. Well, that's really good. Well, Janae, that's the Home Hort series, which really sounds interesting. But let's get back to the Bonner County Gardeners a little bit. You've mentioned that it's a social group, and I know that one interesting aspect of the social group are the Bonner County Gardeners potlucks.
Oh, yes. If you want good food, you can't beat a Bonner County Gardeners Association potluck because these people are bringing fresh items from their garden most of the time. So they're great fun and very social. There seems to be a real need for gardeners to be able to sit and talk about their gardens, what succeeded and what failed with other gardeners, and find out what they're doing. So the potlucks will go on for quite a while because it's hard to get them to quit.
I've attended a potluck or two, and the food is excellent. If you're curious, listeners, it's not all vegetables, by the way. And additionally, Janae is so right. We do learn. I think we learn almost as much at the potlucks as we do during some of the classes.
That's very true, because then it's very specific to your own needs and your own knowledge.
Right. Well, Janae, we're going to end come close to ending our time with you this morning. Are there any other items you might like to mention? And then I'd like for you to be sure to share with us the contact information number, et cetera.
You can contact the Bonner County Gardeners Association through our website. And I don't have the phone number in front of me, but you can call. But you can go through our website and get the phone number there. We also are on Facebook, so you can look us up on Facebook and get the information. But come to one of our classes. That's the best way to make contact, and we'll be glad to have you there and glad to see you. So hopefully you can make it to one of the classes and get acquainted with us that way.
It's a good way to start. And Googling Bonner County Gardeners Association is an easy way to find you, too.
Yes, yeah. Very, very much so.
That's a good way. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always good to see your smiling face. And I imagine you're heading out to think about what to do when the rain stops.
Well, even today with the rain, I have to go out and do some rescuing. It looks like the deer hit my sunflowers last night, so I'm going to have to go out and do some work with those.
I guess all I can say about that is, oh, dear.
Oh, thanks, Julie.
Well, we're going to go to a song break because we'll be joined by Amy Flint shortly, but thank you, Janae, and I'll look forward to seeing you at the next class.
Great.
Thank you. Let's listen to Peter, Paul, and Mary with The Garden Song. And that was Peter, Paul, and Mary with The Garden Song, an appropriate song for this morning and having just talked with the Bonner County Gardeners. This is Julie Calamine, your host for the Tuesday morning show here at KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. If you're not able to hear our entire program this morning, know that I will be posting a podcast after the show, and you can find that at krfy.org. We've been chatting with Janae Dale and hearing about gardening, but we're now going to be moving on to something really interesting, and that's the nonprofit group here in Sandpoint, whose name is Angels Over Sandpoint. What a great name. And the person that'll be joining us is Amy Flint. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Julie.
Amy, tell us what you do at Angels Over Sandpoint and your position.
Well, currently I am just a member. I've been with the organization now for about 15 years, which I was actually thinking about this in preparation for this morning, and I was kind of shocked that it had been that long. So I wasn't there at the very beginning, but I came on board fairly soon after. But I've served on the board a couple of different times. Last year I was the president. So right now I'm just a regular old member.
Member at large.
Yes.
That's right. But you know the organization. It sounds like you've done most of the jobs that one can do there.
Yes.
All right. Well, tell us a bit about Angels Over Sandpoint. I know it's a big anniversary year, but tell us what they are, where they came from, how they got started.
Well, there was a wonderful community member many years ago, Kathy Pelland, who was killed by a drunk driver on the Long Bridge. And at her memorial service, a number of her friends got together and they were sharing stories about the time when Julie helped me with this. Kathy helped me with one thing or another. And she was just always always doing what she could to help other people. And so the conversation went to, well, how the best thing we can do as a legacy for Kathy is to pay it forward and continue to do what we can to help people in need in the community. And that was how the organization was born.
Wow, from one tragedy, but from it came something really good.
Yeah.
And so that has been going on for a number of years. But what sort of things do Angels Over Sandpoint help out with?
Well, some of our one of our biggest events is just happened, which was the back to school. And that's where we distribute backpacks and school supplies to Bonner County students. And this year we delivered served 806 children.
Wow.
And we were very excited. We were able to get some wonderful volunteers to do distributions in Clark Fork and Priest River. We're called the Angels Over Sandpoint, but the reality is we serve all of Bonner County. And we realized that some of Bonner County residents who were interested in the program, it was going to be a bit of a hardship for them to try to come into Sandpoint to collect their supplies. And so we, for the first time this year, we had a Priest River and a Clark Fork location, and that was extremely successful.
That's a big expansion. I imagine that took a lot of planning.
It did, but it also, you know, this community has a huge heart, and it's just a matter of connecting with the right people. Teachers in those areas are a big resource, and there's just a lot of wonderful community support here. It's one of the things I love about Sandpoint in this area.
I have to agree. Backpacks to kids before school begins and things inside the backpacks, yes?
Well, basically we let the children choose their own backpacks, and so then we give them a big shopping bag full of supplies. We organize it according to the supply lists that the teachers give out for the various grades, and we kind of consolidate them. So all first graders get these items in their bag, all second graders get these, and it goes on up through high school. And so that's how we do it. And then that way the children actually get to choose their own backpack.
A good way to go. And is this unique in the country? Is this a unique program or is it happening in other places?
You know, I think different places provide specific support before the school year starts. And even in this community, there's some other smaller groups that do things similar. But on this scale, I'm not really familiar.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it
at
this scale. I think it's wonderful. Well, I know that you're here for a specific reason this morning, Amy, and it's about an anniversary. Tell us about that.
Yes, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary this year, which is just amazing. And we decided to put on, well, we're going to have multiple activities, but the kickoff is a dance, which is coming up this Saturday night at the Dover Barn. And if someone is not familiar with it, it's just a wonderful venue. The Atomic Blues Band will be playing. The hours will be from 6 to 10 on September 23rd, this Saturday. And neighbor John Kelly, many people are familiar with him. They have played for our events in the very early years of the organization. So it's wonderful to be able to have them join us for the 20th anniversary celebration. It seems very appropriate.
It sure does.
And they are lots of fun.
Sounds like a fun night. I imagine it's a benefit. So tell us a bit more about details if there's a charge or are we?
Yes. In honor of our 20th anniversary and, of course, because we're all about raising money to give back to the community, the tickets will be $20. There will be no host food and bar available. And tickets can be purchased at Eve's Leaves or through Sandpoint online.
Okay, so pretty easy to get.
Yes.
You can either get them online or go ahead and get them at the door. Well, that is great. And I imagine that's adults only or not. Are kids coming to that event?
It's probably, you know, I really can't answer that question. But, I mean, it's going to be an adult-focused
sure,
evening.
It's a fundraiser. Makes sense.
Yes.
The kids have the backpacks and the adults get to go to the party and contribute.
Right.
Should be a fun night. I'll have to put that on my schedule. Amy, any other activities that you might be interested in telling us about? Are there some other upcoming activities?
Well, we do have one other special activity that we're doing right now. We have painted, I think, over 300 rocks with our little angels logo, and it says AOS, and some of them have XX for 20, the Roman numerals for 20, and many of them on the back say, take me home, and they're just all over town.
Neat.
So what we're hoping to do probably in the spring is we have a pretty good presence on Facebook, Angels Over Sandpoint on Facebook. And what we're planning to do is we're planning to try to get as many people as possible together for a photo op who have collected our rocks. And it's just kind of a reminder that and in honor of our 20th anniversary.
And I imagine you want them to bring their rocks then for that photo.
Yes, that would be the plan.
Bring the rock. Yes. I'm interested in having you tell us about how one might become involved in Angels Over Sandpoint if they wanted to help out.
It's very easy. We, between September through June, our general membership meeting is the second Tuesday of each month. And DeLuna's here in town is gracious enough to host us for our general meetings. So all someone has to do if they're interested in learning more, no commitment. We have social time from 5 to 6 p.m. and then our meeting starts at 6 p.m. And anyone who's interested in learning more about the organization is welcome to come. And by the way, we are not limited to females in this organization. We have quite a few, we call them Clarences from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. We have about six male members right now, not to mention, of course, the husbands who we convinced to help out with certain activities. And we're also getting, originally the membership was primarily, let me say, you know, mature women who really wanted to look after the community and give back to the community. But over the years, and especially in the last couple years, we've started to be getting a lot more younger members, which is wonderful. And so there really are no requirements in terms of gender or age. Everybody's welcome. And as I said, you can come, you can get a sense of who we are and what we do without making any commitment.
And why wouldn't it be great for anyone interested, male or female? It's such a great giving back opportunity for this community.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's nice because since we do have quite a number of retired members, there are certain times of the year when they may be out of town. So it's really nice to have people who are going to be here because we draw primarily on our own membership for all our volunteer activities.
Okay.
Although back to school, for example, we have a number of people, community members, who consistently volunteer with us to help out with that program because that takes a lot of people.
Yes, it seems to me you need a big group of people for your biggest event and
right.
fewer during the rest of the year.
When someone becomes a member, they have various options for different activities throughout the year, and we ask them to select two that they would like to commit to.
Perfect.
And so that way we have a sense of who's going to be available for what.
Yeah. Yeah, and that sounds like another nice part of your organization in that you're not asking for too much commitment because some of us have time to give a little, but we can't be involved weekly or something like that.
Right. And actually, we do have members who participate, but they may not always be able to attend the meetings. And so, you know, we're very flexible about that. But we also realize that it's a volunteer organization, so everybody has to do their part, whatever that might be.
Yeah, you're looking for a commitment, whatever it is. You'd like
exactly.
to know when people can help out.
Exactly. And we've been pretty successful. At this point, we've raised and given back to the community about $1.4 million.
That is amazing. That is really amazing.
Yeah, it is. Our focus has shifted a bit. It used to be that our members would handle any kind of an assistance request that someone would put forth. And because of our growth and the growth in the area and the need in the area, we are now working with several other nonprofit organizations in town and they are already set up to, you know, determine what the need is for this individual, what is going to be the best way to help them. And so it's allowed us to not be stretched quite so thin. So these collaborations have been a wonderful thing.
Yes. Now, Phil, if Phil is listening somewhere out in the backcountry, or even Phil's mother, you're all going to laugh at this because they make fun of me. I'm the one who always asks about the money and the funding. And hearing that number, which is a large number, it forces me to ask you, where does that money come from? Individuals? Is it from businesses? How are you able to collect so darn much money to help these kids?
It's a variety of sources. For back to school, we do several grants that cover maybe about 60% of the cost. And the other 40%, we send out a donation letter in June. And the rest of it comes from generous community members and businesses.
So community is big. It's a big part of it.
It's big. We like, as I said, we do draw on some grant monies, but primarily it's still kind of a grassroots organization.
Is there a social aspect? Do you get together other times, or are you mainly focusing on angels?
We put the fun in fundraising. That's exactly how we put it. So the idea here is we're going to make money, we're going to help the community, but we're going to have fun, and everybody who's participating in one of our events is going to have fun.
It really seems to be a theme in this community. Fundraising is big and helping the community, but there is really a joyous and exuberant attitude about helping others.
Yes,
it's wonderful.
And that's very true with the angels. We have, of course, probably our most well-known and biggest fundraising event is the Follies.
Tell us about
that. It's the first weekend in March every year, and it's just been a very popular event. The tickets typically sell out, right? They usually go on sale on Groundhog's Day on February 2nd, and they're usually sold out within a couple of weeks, very, very, very quickly. So that we raise a lot of money for that. And again, all the performers in that show are volunteering their time to participate. And we have people that love to come back and join us and participate year after year after year.
And it's really looked forward to. I missed it last year, but it's on my list to make it this year.
And that event is, there is an age requirement on that event because it's racy, risque, and not really for the faint of heart.
Okay, so this is a fun Follies.
Yes.
This should be good. Well,
yes.
I will definitely put that on my calendar, too.
Yes.
Well, Amy, is there anything else you'd like to share? For sure, contact info.
Yes. One other thing. I mean, we do have, this has become an annual event for us, but we do also have our Sandpoint Style event coming up, and I believe that's on November 11th this year. So, again, the Facebook page, Angels Over Sandpoint on Facebook. We are very active with our Facebook page, so there's always lots of information and pictures available there. Also, angelsoversandpoint.org is our website. You can donate from the website. You can learn about upcoming events. Basically, anything you want to find out about the angels is probably on the website.
Okay. Can you share a little bit more about the November 11th event, the fashion event?
The theme is going to be boots. I can't remember exactly what they're saying. I think they're in the planning stages, and because I'm not on that committee, I'm not really that up to speed on it, but it's always great fun.
Yes.
And the focus on that, of course, is on local fashion, so a big part of it is a fashion show.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun event, too.
And the other thing I wanted to share, so we're very excited about this, is we are getting very close to fully funding an endowment fund through the Idaho Community Foundation, which means the organization is going to go on for many, 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 many years. It also allows people to donate to the organization in their will because they know the funds are going to be secured and managed by the community foundation. And it's going to allow us, no matter what circumstances emerge financially in the future, it's going to allow the organization to continue. So that's very exciting.
That is an exciting milestone, I'd have to agree.
Yes.
Hard to reach, and you must have worked hard to accomplish that. That's great. Well, Amy, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Just to remind everyone, we've got we're being joined by Angels Over Sandpoint. And tell us one more time about the upcoming fundraiser. Just give us the dates and the location one more time.
Let's dance on Saturday, September 23rd with the Atomic Blues Band. This is going to be at the Dover Bay Barn from 6 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $20, and they're available at Eve's Leaves or Sandpoint Online. There will be no host bar and food available at the event. And Atomic Blues Band, for anybody who doesn't know, that's neighbor John Kelly. And it's going to be great fun. And it will definitely, you need to wear your dancing shoes.
Or your dancing boots.
Yes.
There you go. Well, I want to thank you. How could I resist? We're going to go to a song break, and it's Head in the Heart, City of Angels. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Julie.
That, after listening to the Angels Over Sandpoint. If you're just joining us, this is Julie Calamine, morning show host for the Tuesday Morning Show here at 88.5 FM, KRFY, listener-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. If you weren't able to hear our entire program this morning, you can go to our website, which is krfy.org, and find our podcast for this show or other shows that you might have missed. And that's easy to find by clicking on podcast. So we have a bit of time left this morning for the hour of morning show, but that's good because there are so many events happening the following week that you're going to want to hear about a lot of them. First of all, I'd like to tell you about the upcoming morning shows. I hope that you'll be able to join us tomorrow, Wednesday morning, with morning show hosts Chris Bessler and Susie Prez. Their guests will be folks from the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, and they will be speaking about their upcoming fundraiser, which is called Souptember. That's very interesting. I'm going to get to that in a minute. That will be the first interview. The second interview will be with organizers of the upcoming Pondere Neighborhood Day celebration. I have more on that as well. So that'll be tomorrow morning, Wednesday, from 8 to 9 with Susie and Chris. On Thursday, we will have our morning show with Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, and we don't have a topic yet, but they always have one by Thursday, so look forward to something from Jim and Jack. Next Tuesday, Phil will be back in town, so I hope that you'll join Phil and me, and our guest is going to be a gal named Jenna Pruitt. She's a grad student from Auburn University who's been coming to the Panhandle to study painted turtles. We're going to hear about her painted turtle study happening at Round Lake State Park, and that'll be next Tuesday. Next Wednesday, we'll also be hearing from Chris Bessler and Susie again on their usual Wednesday morning show, and their guests are going to be Crosstoberfest organizers and Team Autism representatives. That'll be Charles Mortensen and Wayne Pignolet joining us that morning from 8 to 9. And then Thursday, we'll have Jim and Jack with an interesting program. So I hope you'll tune in for our three mornings per week morning shows here at KRFY. Now I'm going to be moving on to upcoming events, the events calendar. And we do have a lot going on. Today, we have a couple of items. The first one is tonight, Tuesday Backgammon Tournament. That's at Laughing Dog. So if you're into a little beer and backgammon, you might want to show up there at 5 p.m. Tonight, we also have free food distribution with Living Water Lutheran Church. That's also through Bonner County and Thrivent. They're hosting a free food distribution from 11 to 1. That will be at the Clark Fork High School, 121 East 4th Avenue. All families in need of food are welcome to pick up free produce and nutritious, perishable, non-perishable products, other groceries. You do not need to make an appointment nor a donation. If you have questions, you can call 509-252-6270. On the 20th, that would be tomorrow night, we've got a bit going on. The first is Idaho, well, this isn't in the evening, but it's in the daytime, Idaho Department of labor hiring event. This sounds like a great event. The Idaho Department of Labor office at 613 Ridley Village Road, Suite C, is hosting a hiring event with multiple employers all under one roof. That's from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This event is a great opportunity for job seekers to meet directly with multiple employers about their immediate openings. Attendees are encouraged to dress prepared for a job interview. Bring your updated resume and come prepared to complete employment applications. The following employers are scheduled to attend: Quest Aircraft, Lake Pendere School District, Valley Vista, UNICEF, Schweitzer, and Idaho Forest Group. If you'd like more information on the hiring event, please call Bridget Bradshaw Fleer. She's at 208-263-7544, or you can email at sandpointmail@labor.idaho.gov. Also on the 20th, Janae Dale's already mentioned this, but I'll mention it again. Wednesday, tomorrow night, the Fall Home Horticulture Series on cover crops and fall gardening. It's the Bonner County Gardeners Association hosting a Fall Home Hort workshop titled Cover Crops and Fall Gardening. That will be with Jennifer Jensen. That's tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m., and that's at the Pendere Event Center, 401 Bonner Mall Way in Pendere. Pardon me. That's across from Yolks and also behind Sandpoint Furniture. For more info on that, you can call 208-265-2070 or visit bcgardeners.org or just show up. And again, that's held from 6 to 8 p.m. There is a fee. Also tomorrow night on the 20th, Charlie Packard Memorial Scholarship Fundraiser. That's with Idaho Poor Authority at the Idaho Poor Authority, 203 Cedar Street, and they're hosting a Charlie Packard Memorial Scholarship Fundraiser with Ninkasi Brewing Company. Beer is on tap. That'll be from 5 to 8 p.m., live music, raffle prizes, and complimentary appetizers. So if you drink the Ninkasi, you'll be benefiting the Charlie Packard Memorial Scholarship Fundraiser. You'll be hearing more about this tomorrow from Susie and Chris, but Wednesday evening, the 21st, will be September, the beginning of September or ongoing. Come sample the tastiest soups from Sandpoint area restaurants during the September fundraiser. I guess it's a one-time event. 5 to 7 p.m., and that will be in Farman Park. It's sponsored by the Sandpoint Community Resources Center, and the tickets are available online or by calling. You can either go online, sandpointcommunityresource.com, or call 208-290-6840. On to the 21st, we've got really a great event. This is the free movie night, Paper Tigers. Lake Pendere School District and North Idaho Community Mental Health host a free movie night at 6 p.m. It's in the Sandpoint High School. That's it. Which would be at 410 South Division. The family documentary Paper Tigers chronicles a year in the life of Lincoln High School in the community of Walla Walla, Washington. Kids who come to Lincoln have a history of truancy, behavioral problems, and substance abuse. After Lincoln's principal is exposed to research about the effects of adverse childhood experiences, he decides to radically change the school's approach to discipline. It's free and open to the public. It's at 6 p.m. And for more info, the phone number listed is 208-265-6798. Also, on the evening of the 21st, we have End of Summer Paint and Sip Party. Uncorked Paint Sandpoint and the Pottery Bug host an End of Summer Paint and Sip Party at 6 p.m. Bring a friend, a beverage, and snacks and paint the night and summer away and enjoy the therapeutic effects of creating your own art or just getting your brushes messy. That's open to the public and held at the Pottery Bug. Sounds fun. Also on the 21st, Rooted in Peace. From the U.S. to Costa Rica to India, award-winning filmmaker and environmental activist Greg Reitman traveled to visit such luminaries and activists as Deepak Chopra, music legends Donovan, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and many others for the documentary Rooted in Peace. That's screening at 7 p.m. in the Panada, 300 North 1st Avenue. You can learn more about that by going to panada.org. On the 23rd, the 3G Tour. This spectacular cruise offers an opportunity to see many parts of the lake, from Hope, cruise to Green Bay, then on to Garfield Bay, where there's a great view of the south end of the lake, then on to the amazing cliffs of the Green Monarchs, and finally returning through the islands of Hope. A history talk is included and lunch is available. That departs at 12:30 p.m. from Kramer Marina in East Hope. For more information on that one, call 208-255-5253 or visit LakePondereCruises.com. On the 23rd, also, we have Pondere Neighbor Day, and that'll be celebrating connections. Join the fun with neighbors to celebrate Pondere Neighbor Day, a community celebration that includes a raffle for free tethered hot air balloon rides throughout the afternoon, plus live music by the Mia Kohal Band, pony rides, carnival games, arts and crafts for kids, food vendors, beer garden, jumpy castle, and more. Sounds pretty big. Connections is the theme of Pondere Neighbor Party, and there's plenty to celebrate, including an expanding trail and park system and a community transit system. It's the Spot Bus. Everyone in the region is invited. Gates are open from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. in the field behind the Hoot Owl. Free admission. Parking is off Emerald Industrial Drive, and the phone number for more info is 208-946-6466. Also on the 23rd, Hope Oktoberfest. That's at the Memorial Community Center at 415 Wellington Place in Hope. They're hosting the 5th annual Oktoberfest from 4 p.m. until 10 p.m. Enjoy a festive dinner featuring brats with all of the fixings, sauerkraut, coleslaw, etc. There will be beer on tap and a wine bar. Wear your dancing shoes or boots, as it were, with musical entertainment by Dennis Wilson and German polkas by the Swing Street Band. It's free admission. Dinner, there's a charge for dinner, and that would be the details on that one. And additionally, and you've heard about this just a few moments ago on the 23rd, so it's a big dancing night, everyone, is the Let's Dance Angels Over Sandpoint, celebrating their 20 years of giving back to the community with Let's Dance. Again, that is 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. in the Dover Bay Homestead Barn. It's fun, funky, and fabulous. There is a charge for the tickets, and you can find out more by going online to Angels Over Sandpoint. I have two more, and then we're going to go out with a song. On the 23rd, again on the 23rd, the Kinnikinick Night of Plant Society presentation, two of Idaho's rarest plants, the Kinnikinick Plant Society and Sandpoint Parks and Rec, present natural history of two of Idaho's rarest plants. For those of you who are not dancers, this is the thing to do on the 23rd. Water Howellia, which is Howellia aquatilis, and Idaho Phlox, Phlox idahoensis. Wow. From 9:45 until 11:30 in the Sandpoint Community Hall. For more information on that presentation, go to nativeplantsociety.org or call 208-597-5469. And finally, on the 24th, the American Heritage Wildlife Foundation is having their Adopt a Highway cleanup. So if you're able to join those folks, please do so. It's at 9:30 a.m. And for more details, call 208-266-1485. It's a lot going on, folks. I want to thank you for joining the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, and I'll look forward to chatting to you all next week with Phil returning. We're going to go out with a song. Couldn't help it again. Nancy Sinatra with These Boots Are Made for Walking, but also for Dancing. Have a great week, everyone.